Galatians chapter 3, and we've arrived at verse 10 together, and we're preaching this morning because it's the text that's before us. It's about the curse. And, you know, that subject has been pushed in our fictional literature and movies and all that such nonsense about curses. The myths of different types of curses and voodoo and witchcraft and black spots and hexes. And I remember when we were preaching, haven't got this one yet in America, but when we were preaching in Thessaloniki, Greece, a lady started putting a hex on us. It was the weirdest thing you ever saw. I mean, I didn't know what she was all saying until the translator told me, said, yes, she's putting a hex on you right now. And it didn't work. We kept preaching. But what I'm saying, there's a lot of things that are mentioned out there. So-and-so put a curse or they're living in it. But there are real curses. And the curses that are real are the ones that you can find in the Bible that God put on people or things. And I'm not going to look at the curses that others, I mean, there have been places in the Bible where somebody else cursed somebody, but, you know, I don't know if that carried much weight, but I'd say this, if God curses something, it's cursed. And I don't know about you, I think I know where you would sit this morning, that you definitely would not want to live under a curse, that you'd want to live under blessing. And blessing is the opposite of cursing. And God blessing your life and God cursing your life is a very great subject indeed that we need to look at what God said. And it's in our text this morning, one of those such like curses of God. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, I said there are many curses in the Bible, and there are. The first one is not really found, and even in Galatians, is not really found in chapter 3. It was found in chapter 1. I would just call your attention back there. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 1, I remind you of the first curse that's mentioned in the book of Galatians. I'm not going to mention all the curses in the Bible, but I'm going to mention a few before we get into the specific curse of God that's mentioned in Galatians 3. But in Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says, if you remember when we were there, verse number 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So Galatians talks about a curse on someone that is preaching another gospel. Of course, if you wanted to go to the very first time the word curse in any form is mentioned in the Bible, you of course would go to Genesis chapter 3. We don't start very long in humanity before God has to start cursing things. And may I say to you, even today, we are still living under the curse that God placed in Genesis chapter 3. Why are things not going any better? Well, when things are cursed, they can't go too well. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned against God, that God came down there in that garden, and the first thing he cursed, or the first mention of the word curse, is to that serpent. The Bible says in Genesis 3:14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed." And the curse has continued on the serpent, and the curse has continued on Satan, and it ever shall be the same. That's the curse of Genesis 3. But not only that, because of the sin of Adam. The Bible went on to say in verse 17, because of Adam's sin, God didn't just curse the serpent, but the Bible said in verse 17 of Genesis 3, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake." We're living even today under the curse of God that was placed all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. I'd say it's a very significant and serious thing when God curses something. And all of the efforts of man won't remove that. The ground still bears thorns and thistles. And man still sweats. And woman still brings forth children in pain and sorrow. And all those things are because of God cursed something. And he was just in his cursing. But we're going to see this morning that every part of humanity is cursed. You know, some people have gone to Genesis chapter 4 and they talk about how Cain is cursed. You remember that? God cursed Cain in Genesis 4:11. He says, "You're cursed," because he killed his brother. And God put a mark on him so everybody knew he was cursed. That's a terrible thing. Somebody said, "Well, what was the mark?" Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the guy's cursed, so that's a serious thing. And you don't move very far from Cain's curse. You'll get into Genesis chapter 9, and God curses one of Noah's grandchildren. Now, that's one of the most amazing ones you can find, because God cursed a grandchild because of the father's sin. Now, I'm not going to preach on that today. But Ham's sin made God curse Canaan, his son. You say, "Well, that's an awful thing for God to curse a person." Well, we're going to find out this morning from Galatians chapter 3 that all humanity is under a curse. It doesn't really matter if it's Cain. It doesn't really matter if it's Canaan. It doesn't matter who it is. Because if you don't get to Jesus Christ, you're under the same kind of curse those people are. God says something else about curses. Remember when he comes to Abram? And he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to curse everybody that curses you." You know that's still happening? I tell you what, we better not take sides against the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because there's a curse on people. I mean, Hitler didn't fall. Amen. Hitler didn't fall and Germany didn't fall because America and the Allies was so great. I'm going to tell you this morning that God's curse was upon them because they touched the people of God. And God says you're cursed if you touch the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a very real curse. The Bible speaks in Deuteronomy chapter 7 about the curse that he put on idolatry. If you make an idol, he says, "I'll have a curse for you." But not just that, he said in Psalm 119, verse 21, God says that I'm going to curse the proud. I wonder how many people are under the curse because God says the curse would be on the proud. Not only so, but in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, God says the curse would be on the house of the wicked. There's a curse on people. God can't bless wickedness. He's going to curse wickedness. He said, "I'm going to curse the house of wickedness." And by the way, in 2 Peter chapter 2 in the New Testament, you know what he said about it? He said, "They're cursed children." And he mentioned 2 Peter chapter 2 as an apostate generation. It's the generation that we live in. And you can just read all the characteristics of 2 Peter chapter 2, and you're living in those characteristics. And God says, we have a society like that. We have people like that, starting with their false doctrine, starting with their perversion of the Scripture, and then continuing on into their immorality, and their eyes of adultery and their sodomy and their despising of dominion and their despising of authority and their promising liberty to people and all of their mixed up philosophies, God said in 2 Peter 2, I'm cursed. I have cursed these children. They're cursed children because of what they're involved in. That's a very real thing. The Bible speaks of the curse on not just those people, but he said in Jeremiah 17:5, this is pretty rough. He said, cursed is every man that trusteth in man. I don't know about you, I need God's blessing. I don't need a curse. God said, if you trust in man, I'm going to curse you. And then he says this. He said, cursed be that trusts in man whose heart departeth from the Lord. When your heart leaves God, God says there's a curse there for you. There's a blessing if your heart stays with God. There's a curse if your heart leaves God. Other of the curses of the Bible even go to the people of God. He said in Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 10 to those people, he said, cursed be he that doeth, listen, that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Now you'd think God wouldn't curse anybody that was doing his work, whether or not it was for a false motive or not. But God says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And then he says this, and who keepeth back his sword from blood. That means if you don't say what God says, if you don't wield the sword of God that he's put in your hand, there's a curse on us for not doing what God's told us to do with his word. What a privilege that we have with the word of God. There's a lot of curses in the Bible, aren't there? Malachi chapter 2 or chapter 3, he talks about people being cursed in 3:9 because you've robbed God. He says, I've cursed you. He even said to those priests, he said, I put a curse on you. I'm going to curse your blessings. He tells us in, of course, Jesus made the biggest statement about being cursed. You remember Matthew chapter 25? He said, there's coming a day that Matthew 25, verse 41, he says, I'm going to say to a whole lot of people, depart, listen, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You know, the Bible tells us all these curses of God. Now look, there's a choice. There's all these curses of God, and then over here's all these blessings of God. Which one do you want to be under? You know, some people don't care about the blessings of the Lord. And yet when they experience the curse of the Lord, they want to complain. Now in our text, the curse that we want to look at this morning is the curse of the law. Would you go back to it? Galatians chapter 3, the curse of the law. There's a curse on you. There's a curse on the world. There's a curse on every man. And it goes like this. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, look at it, cursed is everyone, doesn't matter who they are, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone. If you don't do all things that's written in the book of the law, if you don't do everything in the book, you're cursed. Wow. That is a quote of Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. You know what? Everyone, let me ask you a question. Have you done everything in this book? Have you done everything in this book of the law? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Have you done everything in this book? You see, he didn't say, cursed are those people that don't try to keep the things in the book. He said, cursed is everyone who doeth not everything that's in there. And that's what James 2:10 tells us. If we offend in one point of this law, we're guilty of the whole thing. We're cursed. You said, preacher, who in the world is not under the curse then? Well, we were all under it. 19 times he talks about curses, about the law. Would you go to Deuteronomy? When people don't do what's in the law, God says they're cursed. Before I read you the 27th chapter, I want you to go to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. How's that for a happy Sunday morning message? You're all cursed. Well, you know, you can't get the good news until you understand what the bad news is. There's good news to be had. We're getting there. But see, this world will never get to the blessing if they don't see first the cursing, the curse that's on their life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, God said in Deuteronomy 11, 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." It's your choice. Verse 27, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." 28, "And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." Now watch verse chapter 27. Go to 27. In Deuteronomy 27 and 28, he talks about curses and blessings, and watch what he says. He says in Deuteronomy 27, he put one on one side of the mountain, one on the other side of the mountain, and proclaimed all this to the children of Israel. He said in Deuteronomy 27, 15, "Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image." Verse 16, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother." 17, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark." 18, "Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way." 19, "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow." 20, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife." 21, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast." You see, they were wicked back then too. You see that? And you know what happens when people live wickedly against the Bible? They live under a curse. 22, "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother." 23, "Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law." 24, "Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly." 25, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person." Well, there's your abortion curse. Yeah, pay me, I'll kill your baby. 26, "Cursed be he that confirmed." Now, here's the kicker. You say, "Well, I'm not guilty of any of those up there." So this is what he did with the last curse. 26, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them." So if there's one thing in the book that you didn't do, you're still cursed. Man, what a position man's in. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, but then there's also blessings. He said in verse number 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle. 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." You see that? Verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." No matter where you run, try to get away from it. You can't get away from God's curse. 17, "Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body." 19, "Cursed shall be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." 45, verse 45, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee." It is a serious thing to ignore the commands and the words of God. It is the difference between blessing and cursing, and what the law teaches us. Here's the thing. The Bible says, "Cursed is he," our verse does, "that continueth not in all things." Now, all of us have come short of that law. All of us have come short of that standard. There's nobody in this room that's done everything God's told you to do. And God says, because of that, a curse is following your life. Because if you disobey, if you ignore my word, you're not going to have my blessing, you're going to have my curse. And that's the law. And by the way, a law without penalties is powerless. That's why if we get to the place, ladies and gentlemen, where we live in a society of lawlessness. And what I mean by that, if there are no penalties to those who break the laws, then the law is worthless. The law is useless. The law doesn't even mean anything. And if I can break one law that you think's okay and yet break another one against you that you don't think okay, the law doesn't even matter if there's not teeth in the law. Well, God's law matters. You know what he said? If you don't do everything in this law, you're cursed. That doesn't leave us in a very good position, does it? And because of that, we ought not try to justify ourselves by the law. Because look at the next verse. Look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. This is what he's saying. Look, if you don't continue in everything that the law says, then you're cursed. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's ever going to be right with God? Who's ever going to be just with God? Who's ever going to be accepted by God? Because who's ever continued in all things that the law ever said? In other words, there's no hope for me keeping the law because I've already offended in one point and I'm going to offend in another point next week. Are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I'm trying to. Well, how are you getting there? Well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. If you didn't continue in not just the Ten Commandments, but everything else in that book, you're cursed. You're cursed. You can't be justified by the law. I feel sorry for these Seventh-day Adventist people. Don't look at those people as born-again saved people. Those people are trying to justify themselves by living under the law. You're only thing you're going to do by trying to live by the law is you're going to get a curse for yourself. Because the law is not of faith. You know the law doesn't even care if you have faith. The law just says do this, and you do it. That's why the law can't help you. Because the just shall live by faith. And it's only faith that is the blessing, as we preached before from the prior verses about the blessing that came on Abraham because of faith. Because if we go by the law, all we get is a curse. We don't get those blessings. Well, I'm going to try to do my best and be accepted with God. It'll be to none avail because you're cursed if you don't do everything that's written therein. But if you'll approach God by faith, you see, and you'll live by faith instead of trying to live by the law, there is no life in the law. There's only life in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because if I'm trying to get life from the law, all I'm going to find is a curse. The curse. The curse of the law. Curses all of us. You know, we don't look at things that way. We give ourselves and everybody else 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 breaks, you know. It's like that parent that keeps giving little Johnny or little Susie, you know, give them a break when they disobey and everything's okay. God's not like that. God says, one time you break this law, it's broken. You're cursed. That's pretty narrow-minded, isn't it? Well, it's all right. You can say, yeah, because it is. If you don't continue in all of it, you're cursed. Well, guess what? The curse fell upon every one of us. Go back to our text. There's another curse in this text. It's not just the curse of the law, but Galatians chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at it now. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That quotes Deuteronomy 21:23. They hung him on a tree, they were cursed of God. I see not only the curse of the law on all of humanity, but I see the curse that was on Jesus Christ. He was cursed. He was cursed of the Jews. He was cursed of the Romans. He was cursed by religion. He was cursed by the multitude. But here's the kicker. He was cursed by God the Father. He was made a curse for us. Now, how could God the Father curse His own Son? I tell you what, it was a hard thing to do because this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He did all those things that pleased the Father, did He not? Listen here, come here just a minute. The law couldn't curse Jesus. You know why? He continued in all things that were written therein. The law couldn't curse Him. He was the only man that ever lived that law. He was the only man that ever kept every precept of that law and even the spirit that was behind it. The only human being that ever lived that did that. He was the only one that could live and not have a curse placed upon him. But God the Father cursed him. How did that happen? Because this was the transaction that was made. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Father, I don't want this cup." What's in that cup, Jesus? In that cup is your sin. In that cup is your law breaking and my law breaking. In that cup is the curse. And Jesus Christ said to God the Father, He said, "All right, I'll drink it." And the Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our sin was laid upon Him and our sin was put in Him. And when Jesus Christ took our sin in His own body on the tree, then God the Father curses His own Son, because He not only at that point becomes a lawbreaker in one point, but He is guilty of everything wicked man has ever done, because He took your sin and He took my sin and He drank it down and He put it in His own body, that He would be cursed for you, that He would receive the same curse as a hell-bound sinner would have. And yet He even descended into those lower parts of the earth. But His soul was not left in hell. But He was cursed for you. He was cursed for me, that He might take me out from under the curse. He was made a curse for me so that I wouldn't be cursed. You know, there's a rule in law. It's called double jeopardy. You know, you can't convict somebody for the same thing twice. You can only convict them for it once. Well, here's what happened. Jesus took your conviction. He took your rap sheet. He took your curse. He took your penalty. And He paid it all in full. And that's what it says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, because He took it for us. He was our substitute. He said, "Put the curse right here." And I'm going to say something here. It's not politically correct. It's not white lives that matter, and it's not black lives that matter. There was only one life that ever mattered. Amen. Only one life that ever mattered. You know why that is? Because every other life, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter their religious persuasion, no matter where they're born, no matter what they've done or they have not done, every other human being on the face of the earth is cursed by God Almighty. But one life mattered, a life that stepped in between all the other lives, and the life that stepped in between God and man and took the curse, and His life mattered, and His death mattered, and His resurrection mattered. And without His life, if man does not connect his life with the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that matters about their life, because they're under the curse, and forever they'll be in a lake of fire, and their life will never even matter. It would have been better if they never had a life at all. Did you hear what I said? It would have been better if they'd never been born. That's what Jesus said. Because if your life isn't connected with His life, doesn't matter. One life mattered. And because His life mattered and His death mattered, now my life can have meaning. And the curse gets off of me. And I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from vain conversation and tradition of the Father, but by the precious blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He said, even the forgiveness of sin, we need to be lifting up the only life that matters. Nothing else in the world matters. It's all cursed. But if you don't get to the one life, you'll stay in that curse. But if you'll get to that life of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you, He's your curse. He's your redemption. And He can stamp. I remember in Romania, we'd pay for things and they'd have to stamp everything. I don't know what it was about that. If you didn't have a stamp, it's like you didn't do it. If you go pay your electric bill, you had to have a stamp. And there's no, it's just a communist way of thinking. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a receipt. No, you got to have a stamp. They stamped everything. They had millions of papers and stamps everywhere. I even took advantage of that. I went and started making stamps, you know. I don't know why they didn't think about that. I just started stamping it myself. Amen. But if you got the stamp, then it's legit. Doesn't matter if it's legit or not. If it's got the stamp, it's okay. You know what? You're in debt to God. All of sin, all the world's guilty before God. And yet Jesus Christ became a curse for you. You know why? So He could take your sheet with your name at the top and all your sins, and He could stamp it, paid in full. Paid in full. God, You can't curse this one because I was cursed for them. And now this one can have the blessing. That's what He says in the verse. Look at it. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, not the cursing of God, but that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. He was cursed for us to bring a blessing to us. And His life matters. You know, I was thinking about that. You remember when they came to David, and David was going to go out to battle, and they said, no, David, don't go out to battle, in 2 Samuel 18 there, don't go out to battle, because this is what they said to him. They said, you know, if we die, they won't even care for us. In other words, our life doesn't even matter. You know what they said to David? They said, David, you are worth 10,000 of us. What a thing to say. David, you are the anointed of God. You are the chosen of God. You are the seed that God has given us. It doesn't matter about our lives. It doesn't matter what happens to us. But David, you are more worthy. Doesn't matter what happens to our lives. But you, David, we want to emphasize your life. Don't come out with us. You stay there and let us go be casualties. Oh, dear Christian friend, Jesus Christ, the seed of David, the greatest fulfillment of God's anointed one, God's chosen one. I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is not just worth 10,000 of us, but He's worth all of us put together and more so. And our lives don't even matter, but His life matters everything. His life is eternal life. His life is the glory of God, and God accepted His life. And I've got to take my life and just lose it in His. And until we can get that perspective to our world, people will continue to live their lives and none of them will matter because they're living them under a curse. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. Look at this blessing. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, you know, there was a lot of blessings that God promised Abraham. But I'll give you this morning. There's only two of these that are passed down to us that are believers in Jesus Christ. Some have said the opposite. They said if you have the faith of Jesus Christ, then you just get all the blessing of Abraham. That's not true. You'll never get his land. That was a promise given to only his physical seed, not his spiritual seed. There are things that God, you know, you can't walk around and say, well, if you bless me, God will bless you. And if you curse me, God's going to curse you. Don't be that, you're not that important. There are some of the blessings that God put on Abraham. He'll never put on us, but there's two that he did. And the two that are in this text. First, a few verses above that we'd already preached on is that blessing of righteousness. That Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. What a blessing for God to give you his own righteousness, to count to you his own righteousness. You can have that same blessing. The second blessing is right here in this text. The blessing of the promise of the Spirit. Now, I can't really find in the Bible where God promised Abraham the Spirit. No. I think actually, probably if you divided the verse, that we have a different blessing. Verse 14, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. I think that's righteousness by faith, which is discussed in the previous verse. And then there's a semicolon. And I think there's another thought, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that promise of the Spirit through faith is the promise of the Father. Now, I know there's going to be some connotation for that with the children of Israel and the millennial kingdom. I understand that. The Spirit's going to be poured out upon them. But I don't find anywhere where God promised Abraham, if he would believe him, he would give him his Spirit. I don't read one time where Abraham even had the Spirit or was filled with the Spirit. But this is what the Bible says. And Jesus said that himself. He said, guys, if you'll believe on me, he said, when I ascend up into heaven, I'll send the Spirit of God to you. And he told them to wait for that promise. There's that word, that promise of the Father. Not the promise of Abraham, but the promise of the Father. God says this, you ought to be cursed. Guys, every one of us deserve to be cursed. But if you'll put faith in that one that became a curse for you, I'll do two things for you. I'll not give you these curses. I'll give you two blessings. And all the money in the world couldn't buy these blessings. These two blessings are more valuable than anything that you could ever find in this life. He said the first blessing is the blessing of righteousness. You're not righteous. There's none righteous. But God will look down from heaven just as he did to Abraham and say and declare you to be righteous and justify you because you put your faith in the one who was cursed and hung on a tree for you. He said, and that second blessing is, he said, I'll give you the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. I put the Spirit of God in your heart. There's something wrong with our Christianity. It's a de-emphasis of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in our lives is such a blessing. We sang this morning, and I saw some of you worship God as we were singing it, that Christ liveth in me as the cone in the tree, that Jesus is in me. How is he in you? He's in you through his Spirit. And you who deserve to be cursed, he put his Holy Spirit within you when you trusted Christ as your Savior. I tell you, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I don't know what you've done, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. If the Holy Ghost doesn't live in your body, I don't care who you are, what you've done. The Bible says he sends the Spirit in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We know he's our Father. He puts the Spirit of God in my heart. Why does he put it there? Because I did something right. I could never merit the Spirit. I could never earn the Spirit. But if I put my faith in the crucified one, he'll put his Spirit on the inside of me. I, a cursed one, can have the blessing of the Spirit. And then I can sing that he walks with me and he talks with me. And then I can experience the fact that he chastens me and corrects me when I get out of line. There's something in there that just, that Spirit of God, oh, what a blessing to turn me back in line and grab a hold of my heart and start yanking that chain, saying, get back in line. Repent. Get on your knees. The blessing of the Spirit on cursed people, that God would live inside of you. Oh, dear friend, if God lives inside of us, where is He? Where is He coming out of our lives? Where is He coming out of our voices, out of our hands? Where is He if He's on? What a blessing we walk around with, the blessing of God. Not because we're Americans or we're the right race or we have so much, but we're blessed because God put His Spirit in us if we're saved. Do you thank Him for the blessing? Do you acknowledge that you're really worthy of the cursing? If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, and you're not sure that Christ lives in you through the Spirit of God, because you're still trying to do all these good things instead of just believe that one that hung on a tree for you. Why don't you get saved today? And if you are saved, why don't you consider how we all deserve to be cursed and start thanking Him for the blessing of His righteousness and of His Spirit? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Oh, what a Savior to be made a curse for us. I don't want you to hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." But you've got to get to the crucified one to escape that damnation. Does your life matter? Does your life matter? It'll only ever matter for eternity if it's connected with Jesus.